give you all a very warm welcome to this evening's worship service. We're again grateful to have our own pastor who'll be leading this time and bringing to us God's word. The next time we meet will be in the middle of the week at the 7:30 Bible study on Wednesday. Also, just a reminder that none of our presenters are available today, so the presenting will be through recording. Thank you.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us pray. O gracious God, we come tonight to magnify thy great and glorious name. We cannot add to thy greatness, but we will come with high and great thoughts of thee. O Lord, thou art a glorious God, and we would worship thee tonight. We would bow our hearts before thee. O Lord, as we come, we pray that thou art lift the golden sceptre. May we be aware that we are accepted through the beloved. Cleanse us from our latest sins, O Lord, even of this day. And accept our praise and our prayers tonight. We would join in with so many, a number that no man can number in heaven and upon earth. Hear us as we praise thee tonight. Be glorified. We thank thee for our beloved Saviour, who rose victoriously on this, the first day of the week. We come to thee in his name, mindful of his finished work, for Christ's sake.
Amen.
We turn to our first praise, Psalm 47, verses 1 through to verse 8, and the tune is St. Gregory. Psalm 47, verses 1 through to verse 8. All people, clap your hands to God, with voice of triumph shout, for dreadful is the Lord Most High, great King, the earth. Throughout Psalm 47, verses 1 to 8, and the tune is St. Gregory.
Oh,
Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're reading verses 1 through to verse 27. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're reading verses 1 through to verse 27. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exhort her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. We turn to our second praise, Psalm number 86, and we're singing from verse 9 through to verse 13. And the tune is Wallace. All nations whom thou made shall come and worship reverently before thy face, and they, O Lord, thy name shall glorify. Psalm 86, and we're singing from verse 9 through to verse 13.
Before the
If you would turn with me to the Revelation 19, and we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 16. Revelation 19, verse 1 through to verse 16. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and the smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Let us pray. O gracious God, on this Lord's Day evening, we would rejoice in our King. We're reminded in the psalm, let the children of the King rejoice. And so we would rejoice in him. And we thank thee, he is no ordinary king, for he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this affords to us much comfort, that when we consider him and his kingdom, it is here to stay, and it will last forever, and he will reign over it. How blessed we are, O Lord, that we have been admitted. The golden scepter has been lifted. We have known his favour. We have known pardon and acceptance. Oh, we are so blessed to know the King. And as we consider this morning, to know that fellowship and friendship with him. We pray that our affections tonight would be set on things above, that he who has our hearts would encourage us as we look heavenward this evening. We do thank thee for thy word. We would rejoice. We thank thee, as we sang earlier tonight, that he has ascended up. He did go up with a shout. Oh, we thank thee, he rose victoriously from the grave, and he ascended up into heaven as the victorious one. Oh, what a wonderful King. And in that psalm we sung, O Lord, we are reminded that one day there will be the shout and he will return. He went up with a shout, he will come with a shout. O glorious day when the King comes again. O Lord, help us to sing more and more with that understanding that we sang of tonight in the opening praise. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast delivered us. So great is thy mercy. Teach us, O Lord, to walk in thy ways. We thank thee for the book of Proverbs and the counsel, the wisdom that is given there. Help us to walk in thy ways. To this end, as we have sung tonight, unite our hearts to fear thy name, that we might, having this fear of thee, might walk in thy ways. Lord, do a work with him. Unite our hearts, that our hearts will be fixed and focused on thee and thy word. O Lord, help us this coming week. We've heard thy word tonight. Help us to be wise as we walk in this world. We walk in the midst of those who would lay temptations before us. Help us to be wise, we pray. Help us to look straight on, we beseech thee. Bless thy word to us tonight. Oh, how we thank thee for the King. We thank thee that he doth reign. And we thank thee we are part of his family. We are found in the greatest kingdom here on earth. Oh, we thank thee for him. And we thank thee that he rides forth prosperously and his kingdom is extending today. Oh Lord, we may be a few in this corner, but we are in a corner of a vast kingdom. And we give thee praise. We thank thee for our brothers and sisters in Christ in this locality, but all over the world as well, and those in heaven, we give thee praise, O Lord, for them. Oh, we thank thee that we have so many that we could never number them all. Oh, what a wonderful King who has subdued them all and subdued us, O Lord. We do pray that the kingdom would extend in this area. Lord, we beseech thee. We pray that the King would subdue a people in the south of England and in this forest. May they be found at his feet, loving him, believing in him, humbly confessing their sins. Oh Lord, we pray for this. May the King ride prosperously in this forest, in this local area. We beseech thee. And help us to go forth under the banner of the King. The banner of his love, proclaiming him, making him known, we pray. Be with us tonight, bless the word that is preached here and in other places. As we thought a few weeks ago, we think of sister churches near and far. We pray for them. Bless thy servants in the midst, encourage them and help them. Bless thy word tonight. We know over these days there have been those who have been paying their respects to the Queen, and we would pray for our Queen. But we recognise tonight so few are paying respects to the King. Oh Lord, we pray that many yet would be drawn to King Jesus in these days. Be with us, O Lord. We pray for the young people and the children again. We thank thee for them. Go before them this week, those that love thee. May they know the defence of the King as they return to the places of education or work. We pray for all of us, O Lord. Do defend us, blessed King. Do support us as a people here, lead us forth, we pray. We thank thee for the gentleness of the King's hand. And we thank thee we have been aware of it in times of trial. We do pray again for Mark and Naomi tonight, that they be aware of the King's gentle hand, a hand on the shoulder to express love and underneath to support. Be with them, O Lord. May they know that comfort and that healing, particularly for Naomi at this time. We pray for young Charlie as well. Bless him in his young life. Lord, we beseech thee. We pray for others away from us tonight, those who are laid aside through sickness. Put thy hand upon them. We pray for those here and those listening online. Speak, we pray. So, Lord, we look to thee. Help us in our own individual walk, that we would walk close to thee. When we stray, come quickly, blessed shepherd, and restore our soul. Help us in our walk. We think of walking in Christ, the closeness that is intimated there. Help us to walk in Christ this coming week. Go before us. May we know much of thy hand, of blessing, support and direction. So hear our prayers then. We present our thanksgivings unto thee. We praise thee and adore thee. Worthy thou art. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our fair praise is Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we're going to sing verses 24 through to verse 29. If you were to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, you would see plainly that the subject of this psalm again is Christ and his kingdom. And we particularly are mindful of the cry of Christ in verse 26, "Thou art my Father," he's speaking to the Father. "He shall cry, Thou art my God alone, and he shall say, Thou art the rock of my salvation." And then we see in verse 27 these amazing words, "I make him my firstborn, more high than kings of any land." And here in the Old Testament, in the Psalter, we have this reference, what we're going to consider tonight, that he is the King of kings. And notice then verse 28, "The love of the Father towards the Son, my love are ever keep for him. My covenant fast shall stand." Psalm 89, verses 24 to verse 29, and the tune is Weatherby.
Amen.
If you would turn with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, and you'll find my text in verse 16. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Dear congregation, this very night there is a king upon the throne. And as we consider him, that he is king and that he is upon the throne, the great encouragement is this, that he will reign forever and ever. He was appointed or designated to be king from all eternity before this world was made. For he in the heavenly world, after the last day, will dine with his subjects throughout all eternity. We come tonight to consider the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just before we come to our text tonight in verse 16, a little background to this chapter. First of all, we have great rejoicing over the judgment of the whore from verse 1. We think particularly of the papacy. And then we have the avenging of the blood of the saints. Then there is triumph in view of the marriage of the Lamb. We note that, did we not, as we came to verse 7. Let's just pause here and think of marriage in light of the scripture. There is a marriage after one is born again and they are converted. There is a union. And so we read in the Song of Solomon, my beloved is mine and I am his. So when one is born again and then converted, this union, faith is put within. My beloved is mine, and I am his. The people of God are in union with Christ. And dear brother and sister in Christ tonight, what a happy privilege to be in union with Christ. So we think of that spiritual marriage. And then there is another marriage that a number of the Puritans and the Reformers set forth. And that is when many are brought to Christ, particularly the conversion of the Jews. For at that time it is seen as from death unto life, Romans 9 verse 15. When we think of the individual, there's new life and they're found married to Christ. Think of the conversion of the Jews as a number of the Puritans and the Reformers set forth in light of Romans 9 verse 15, from deadness to life. What a marriage it is, when many are brought, and the Reverend John Brown of Huntington points this out, if one is brought unto Christ and there's a union, how much more when many are brought? It's seen as a wonderful marriage, which a number of the old writers point out, believing is the reference to here. But then thirdly, there is another marriage on the last day when all the people of God are brought unto Jesus Christ. And we could consider that as well. What a marriage of the Lamb. Then further there is a vision from verse 11 of one sitting on a white horse who is victorious, who leads forth the armies, his people, in a spiritual battle. Come with me to verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He, the victorious one, goes forth with his people, a spiritual army, going forth. We were led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who rides there, and we're reminded, aren't we, in Psalm 45, that the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rides prosperously. Well, having considered these things, then we come to verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his fire name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's the king. He's going forth riding prosperously. He has a royal robe on. And there where his sword is by, there on his thigh, as well as on his vesture, a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here we're presented with the victorious King, the Lord Jesus, who is King of Kings, going forth. And what a comfort tonight, he is going forth as the King of Kings, and he rises prosperously, and this very night his kingdom will extend and will reach further into this world. Now just come with me briefly before we look at this text in more detail to verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh. We think of a vesture, children, what are we referring to here? Well, an apparel, a garment or a robe. Think of a king having particularly an outer robe on, a royal robe on his vesture. But then also on his thigh, this name is written. For all to see as he rides prosperously. And where his sword is, we could say, there is the name written on his thigh. So on his royal robe, on his vesture, his garment, but also on his thigh is this name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what an encouragement this is to the people of God. These are difficult days, particularly here in the south of England. But we have a king who is going forth. And we see on him in the word tonight that his name is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, there will be victory. There will be a people subdued, as we will consider tonight. And what a blessing. As we look at Christ going forward and up front, we are his subject. We've been made willing by grace, Psalm 110, verse 3, and we're following him. What an encouragement in these days. We're following the King of Kings. Without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider two things tonight, if time permits. First of all, Christ the King. And then secondly, Christ the King of Kings. Christ the King. And secondly, Christ the King of Kings. Let's go back to verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rightly it is written there. We could think of the lettering woven onto the robe and to the garment which covers his thigh. There it is. It's rightly written there. And there's no question about this. Should it be there? No. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we're told in olden days, certain ones of men of note would have their names written on their garment. So people knew who they were. Certain ones in the past, maybe their initials or their full name. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no doubt. Rightly it is written there, on his vesture, but also there on his thigh. Think of the thigh, it speaks of strength. And the sword is carried in that area. Oh, he's the King of Kings. As you think of the strength of Christ, he's the King of Kings. As you think of the going forth to victory, represented by his sword, he is the King of Kings. He's the all-powerful King. By faith we see him going forth, the King of Kings, riding prosperously. He's the victorious King. We've seen this often, haven't we? Psalm 24, verse 8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He was and he is. He was here upon earth. He was victorious over sin, death and the devil. And he's the victorious one tonight. There's a battle, but he is subduing a people. He's dealing with the enemies of the church. He is the mighty one in battle. And we see that here. What an encouragement. You think in olden days, the commander or the king would appear on the battlefield. And the soldiers who were weary, cast down, it had been a long fight, look up. And they behold their king or their commander. There he is. And it puts strength in them. Does it not put strength in us to consider the King of Kings, who is the mighty one in the battle? Listen to Spurgeon. We know the might of Jesus by the battles which he has fought, the victories which he has won over sin, death and hell. And we clap our hands as we see him leading captivity captive in the majesty of his strength. Oh, for a heart to sing his praises. Mighty hero, be thou crowned forever, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was commenting there on Psalm 24, verse 8. He is the one. He's the King. King Jesus. At the knee, at his knee, every, at his name, every knee should bow. Now he, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, reigns over all. What do we sing at the opening of this time of worship? Psalm 47, verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. And we looked up, didn't we? And we considered him who is King over all. He is King, reigns over all the earth, his general kingdom, along with the Father and the Son. He is sovereign. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. As God, he is King over all. Well, having considered this, we consider further tonight, he is King of the church, over what we call his mediatorial kingdom. And we particularly consider the church of Jesus Christ, his kingdom. He makes this plain, doesn't he? In Matthew 18, he speaks of the kingdom, and then he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And then he speaks of the keys of the kingdom. When we think of the church, here upon earth and in heaven, we think of his kingdom, we can call it his kingdom of grace, where he reigns over the church as king, and he reigns over the individual heart. Through grace we have bowed the knee to him. He's come to our hearts. We have submitted to him as King and Lord. He reigns, does he not? Remember what he said of certain ones. We will not have this man to reign over us, they said. But through grace we've been subdued, and he reigns over us as an individual. In the soul, a kingly government has been set up. Satan has been dethroned, and Christ reigns with him. Well, he reigns in heaven. He reigns in the church, and he reigns in the hearts of his people. Dear brothers and sisters, how blessed we are that we have been brought into the kingdom. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1 verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're in the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. And you remember we sang earlier of the Son crying to the Father, Thou art my Father. And then the Father making him higher than the kings of all the earth. We've gone on to consider his kingdom. He reigns over all as King, along with the Father and the Son. But then he reigns over the church. What a blessing to be in the family, in the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom. We've been brought in. Or of many others tonight, we'll be delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and brought in. Well, consider for a moment, he is King of the church. He was ordained, appointed to the office of King in all eternity. In a few weeks' time, the Lord willing, as we read through Proverbs, we'll come to Proverbs 8, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. And we consider there he was appointed, designated to the office of king, the office of mediator. We can also consider the office of prophet, priest, and king. from the beginning, set aside, appointed, ordained. Remember those words in Micah 5 verse 2, but for thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He will come forth, he was born into this world. If we consider from all eternity, he was appointed as king. He exercised his kingly office immediately after the fall. Remember those words from Genesis 3 verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see there Christ exercising his kingly office. He's going to bring a people to himself. He's going to deal with the evil one. Mankind was shipwrecked in Adam, but there was a Redeemer on the horizon, our blessed King. And he began bringing a people to himself. When he came into this world, he was publicly proclaimed King. Remember what we read in Matthew 2 verse 2. Where is he, the wise men said, that is born King of the Jews? They recognized him. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He exercised his kingly authority after the fall. And when he came into the world, he was recognized and publicly proclaimed as king at his birth, but then also at his death. Remember what Pilate wrote? John 19 verse 19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There at Calvary, it was written he was the King of the Jews. He was publicly proclaimed King. But then consider thirdly, he was solemnly installed after his ascension. He was designated, appointed in eternity. He exercised his kingly office after the fall. He was proclaimed king here upon earth. He was solemnly installed after his ascension. And so we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We've often considered Psalm 24 a particular reference to the ascension of Christ. Who is this King of glory, the Lord mighty in battle? The victorious King was coming, and he came in and he sat down and was solemnly installed. And so we read in Philippians 2 verse 9, immediately following on from his humiliation, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He was solemnly installed at his ascension. Maybe one of you can remember the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. And others who are listening on you may remember as well. The coronation of Queen Elizabeth in 1953. The weather was cold and overcast, and there were outbreaks of rain. What a day it was. But oh, what a day it was when the King of Kings entered heaven and sat down. He was solemnly installed. He who had worn the crown of thorns now wore the crown of purest gold. Psalm 21 verse 3. These are interesting words. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. In that psalm we consider the Saviour looking forward to the resurrection. And we can consider the crown that was put on his head. Spurgeon puts it like this. He wore the thorny crown But then he wore the glory crown, Psalm 21. The crown of pure gold on his head. He is the king. Oh, what a king it is. He is. Just consider him tonight. He is reign. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Kings come and queens come, but then they pass away. But oh, the King of Kings, is reigning still tonight, at this very hour. Just set your affections on things above and consider the King in his glory. And he's reigning. And we're in his kingdom, we who have been subdued by grace. We're privileged to know him. And as we consider him as the king, he's going to reign forever. He will continue to reign after the great day. Now we have interesting words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. He shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he should have put down all rule and authority and power. What does that mean? When there's no one else to be saved, and he's dealt with all his enemies, yes, there he will put down all rule and authority and power, but then he will continue to reign forever and ever. And so we read in Revelation 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever, when he's done the work of subduing all who will be brought to his feet, and the kingdom presented, he will then reign forever and forever. Christ the King. Are we not thankful he's on the throne tonight? For he is the king and he executes his office. As we consider this, first of all, he has and is subduing a people to himself. He's bringing people to the ground, to his feet. In Acts 15, verse 14, we read Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This visitation and a people taken, subdued. And we see that in Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Willing in the day of thy power, or can be translated to the day of the armies. And there King Jesus is going forth, and through grace he is conquering, and a people being subdued, and they're made willing. Oh, what a blessing. Made willing. The will is renewed. One is made willing. I will follow thee, King Jesus. I will serve thee to the end. He subdues. We think often in Proverbs of those that will not bend their knee. The pride within. But oh, when the king draws near and he will save his people, that pride is dealt with. The mountain is brought low, humbled by grace, and the king comes. A people are subdued. He humbles. He convicts one of their sin, and they're brought to his feet. And he causes them to yield. They had a heart of flesh, but then they're given a new heart. A heart of stone they had, but then they're given a heart of flesh. And he melts them by his love. Found they are at his feet. And that was you, dear child of God. He melted you by his love. You bowed the knee. How can we be thankful enough for that? Let me ask, is there someone here? You haven't known that in your life. Well, it's my prayer, yet your heart would be melted by his love, that you are caused to kneel down spiritually before him and own him as king and embrace him Psalm 2 verse 12, considering King Jesus, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Have you embraced him? If not, I pray yet you would be found embracing him in faith, kissing him also in love, having a heart touch. He exercises his office, he subdues, he touches the hearts of certain ones and brings them to his feet. Has your heart been touched by Jesus? You know, sometimes you may be going through a difficult time and someone leaves you a little gift, maybe at the door, or brings it to you. And you're touched, aren't you? Touched by their thoughtfulness, touched by their love. Been so kind. Have you been touched by the love of the King? Has your heart been melted? Has he gone forth, as we considered this morning, and came to where you were and dealt with you by grace? He subdues the people. And as we consider this, in olden days, the golden scepter would be lifted, held out, and the one that was before it knew that they were accepted. When the king saw Queen Esther, we read this in Esther 5 verse 2, and so it was, and it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. There was favour, there was acceptance there. Matthew Paul points out, he pardoned also her presumption to make an approach there on this day. For she knew the king was favourable. He held out the golden scepter. When the king is subduing, he makes plain his grace. And that through what he has done, there is acceptance. One's sins are pardoned. And they are accepted. The king was ready to hear Esther, and the king is ready to hear the humble cry of the penitent one at his feet. What grace! What grace is shown when he subdues, when he admits one. And they're found in audience with the king. Been accepted. A blessing where he subdues. But consider secondly, as we think of him exercising his kingly office, he rules over his subjects. Remember those words again in Micah 5 verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. He rules, the king rules. There are his laws, his commands. I'll just give you one verse in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21. To them that are without law, as out without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. There are those, certainly even the church today, we don't need to worry about the Ten Commandments. What do we read in Corinthians? But under the law to Christ. And out of love to him, we seek to keep them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We add that, do we not? As we see in Matthew 28, verse 20. There are his laws, he rules. And consider further, he rules through his word and spirit. He rules. But then, moving on, he defends. He's a king who exercises his kingly authority, and he defends us. There's the activity of the king. Psalm 89 verse 18, for the Lord is our defence and the Holy One of Israel is our king. He's our defence and he's our king. And are we not thankful? We need defending, don't we? This coming week we need defending. Those of you returning to the college or the workplace, we need defending where he defends us. He's the king out front. Sometimes we don't seem to see him, do we, by faith? Our faith seems small, but he's out front. Even when we don't sense him, the King, he is there to defend us. We are those who stand up against us. We're not in heaven, are we? We're in hostile territory. What do we read in Psalm 124, verse 1 and 2? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may now Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, what would have happened? What will happen? But the King is there. Oh, take comfort this week. When you go back to the college or the workplace, the King will be with you. He will defend. There are those who oppose us. They plot against us. It's not easy to be a Christian today, particularly for a young Christian. But the King still works, and he is defending. He will protect his subjects. He's our defence, he's our King. He will come to our aid. He's a shield for us. We have an almighty King on our side. The church can be hopeful. And the church can be encouraged. He defends us. And then further, he restrains, he limits the attacks. He restrains and he conquers all his and our enemies. What a King we have. He's a King who goes forth to defend us. But also, he was set aside to be priest. And he makes intercession. Think of him as King. He goes forth to defend us, to protect us. And whilst he goes forth as a King to defend and protect us, he's as a priest making intercession for us, that our faith would not fail and that we would be delivered. And he is a priest, makes intercession, and his intercession prevails. And then as a prophet, he turns to us and says, all will be well. Oh, what a King we have. One day, dear brethren, we will see the King in heaven and in the heavenly world. What a blessing to know the King. And you consider what the King is going to say to his subjects on the last day. It will be the sentence of the King towards his subjects. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the heavenly world, the kingdom has been prepared for you. Are we not thankful he was set aside to be King, appointed to be King before this world was made? When we think of those words, and what the King will say, he said to you, he said to billions. So many of his subjects there are. Come ye blessed of my Father. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Come, and we along with the King will enter the heavenly world, and we will dine with him forever and forever. What a prospect. You know a little of the King, it's only the beginning. And he's going to feast with you and feed you and bless you for all eternity. You're going to learn so much more of him. Or you'll be so taken with the King. We look forward to seeing heaven and then the heavenly world when heaven and earth will be one after the last day. What wonderful sights we will see. But what will make heaven, what will make the heavenly world? The presence of the King and his lovely face. We think of the beatific view. One of old wrote, I will not gaze at glory but on the King of grace. Heaven, the heavenly world is going to be so beautiful. But we're going to keep turning back to look at Jesus. I will not gaze at glory but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's. We will see him and we will dine with him. For he's the victorious King. And are we not thankful? He came and he goes forth today in a victorious way, and we have been brought to heaven. Well, we must close. Time has passed so quickly, but in closing, we will be brief. Secondly, Christ the King of Kings. Let's return to what we read in verse 16. And he have on his vesture and on his fire name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his vesture and on his fire, for all to see. Over these past few days, many have had a glimpse of the Queen. Many more have seen the Queen through the television. Oh, that everyone would look to the King of Kings. We hear on his vesture, his garment or robe, and on his fire name is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For people to take note of, we could say. Oh, that people would take note of this tonight, through the word, that he is King of Kings, but then also through his power in subduing a people and defending his people, that he is the King of Kings. A while ago, a few American tourists came up to the Queen, and they didn't know who she was to begin with. They began asking a few questions. They didn't know it was the Queen. She didn't have a royal robe on. They didn't know till later. All that men tonight would know this. There is a King in Zion. He is the King of Kings. Oh, that people would take note. So many are blinded to this, aren't they? Yes, some will think, well, he is king. He came, he was born in Bethlehem, King of the Jews. They give that a place in their thoughts, but they will not consider him to be the King of Kings. Well, let's just close with this. As we think of him as King of Kings, he's over all. There are kingdoms in this world, such as the United Kingdom. There are kings and queens. And we pray for such, as we're exhorted to do so in Scripture. And we're thankful for the reign of Queen Elizabeth these past 70 years. Many have shown respect, and so do we. There's kingdoms, there's kings, and there's queens in this world. However, there is a king above all kings and queens, King Jesus. And earthly kings and queens, princes and princesses, they must bow the knee to him. And so we read in Philippians 2 verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Every knee, that every king, that every queen, that every prince, princess, bow the knee to King Jesus tonight. That's what we see, do we not? And certain ones have. We can think of King David, King Solomon, Queen Esther. We've already mentioned Queen Esther tonight. She bowed the knee to the King of Kings. On we could go. All of men, all of kings and queens all over the world would bow the knee tonight to him. He's the King of Kings. There's none higher than him. We sang already tonight, he's the highest one. Psalm 89 verse 27, and I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. He's set aside as the highest one. Spurgeon again commenting on those words says this, even now faith sees him exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He and his kingdom are higher than the kings of the earth. Let the great ones of the earth be wise and submit to him, for he is the Lord and he is the governor among the nations. He's the King of Kings. Let everyone bow the knee tonight to King Jesus. Blessed are you if you through grace have been brought to his feet. You're in his kingdom and you're looking up with love in your heart to the King. He's the King of Kings. You show respect to others, but the King of Kings has your heart. Remember what Simon Rutherford said? Since he looked on my heart, it is not my own. He hath run away to heaven with it. And that's why our found, is it not? Obeying those words of the apostle at times, set your affections on things above. Because the Lord, the King, has our heart. You know, when a young lady, or an older lady, we could say, falls in love with a man, the man has won her heart. Has Jesus won your heart? Is he King? We who love him, we look up with love in our hearts. We admire him. He's the King of Kings. What encouragement that is. He's the King of Kings, therefore you think of his great kingdom as well. The greatest kingdom on earth is not the United Kingdom. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be found therein. We may feel our smallness tonight. It's amazing providence, isn't it, that this sermon should be preached tonight. But as you think of him who is the King of Kings, you are in a kingdom, the greatest on earth. And there are so many others who have bowed the knee to King Jesus. We may be a local congregation, but we're part of a great congregation. The greatest kingdom in this world. What a blessing to be in the kingdom. To be part of the visible church which is here upon earth, wherein there are found true believers. What a blessing to be in this kingdom of grace, but then one day of glory. Oh, what a kingdom. And we should not be surprised that it will extend and grow. His kingdom has grown today. His kingdom has extended because he's the King of Kings. You think years ago when certain kings went forth or queens, their kingdom was advanced and it extended. But the kingdom of the King of Kings has just been advancing and it's extending. Tonight it is the largest it's ever been. Next Sabbath day it will be even greater. We shouldn't be surprised because he's the King of Kings. We should never be surprised to hear of someone being converted in some church in this world. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be surprised to hear in South America there is a hunger for the Word of God. We should never be surprised because he's the King of Kings and his kingdom is growing. And the day you were brought to him, his kingdom got a little bigger. Is there someone here tonight, not a Christian or listening on? I pray if it's the Lord's will, your heart will be open and the kingdom would extend by you being brought in. We should never be surprised that his kingdom will grow. We feel our smallness, but the kingdom is growing. Psalm 72 verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. We can think of empires that sprung up, but then they fell. But all the kingdom of Christ will be found all over the world. That's what Psalm 72 makes plain. He will conquer. He will be victorious. What do we read in Revelation 11 verse 15? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He will conquer. His kingdom, his church will be found all over the world, in every place, in every tribe. Interesting words in Isaiah 11. You remember that is a prophecy there in Isaiah 11 of the kingdom of Christ. What do we read in verse 9? Having fought of the kingdom of Christ, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In view of the kingdom of Christ and his reign, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We may see many empty pews tonight, but do not be discouraged. His kingdom will grow and the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Psalm 72 verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. The individual will be blessed. And many will be blessed, that nations will be blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name for ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You can think of the splendour of a monarch. Think of the glory of the King of Kings. And because he is the King of Kings, the whole earth will be filled with his glory. Let us bow to him tonight in adoration, love and praise. I've never met the Queen. So I've never had that opportunity to bow to her. But I've met the King, and I will bow again tonight to him in love, praise, and adoration. And with this I close as we think of the reign of Christ. He will reign for all eternity as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there in the heavenly world, we alongside billions upon billions will bow our knee to him and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We may feel we're a few tonight, but we're in the greatest kingdom here upon earth. And one day we will be with so many, and we will be amazed that the Lord brought so many to his feet, and we will be so thankful he brought us to his feet. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, these are challenging days as we look out around this neighbourhood and this country. But when we look out and consider our King, we are encouraged. And we thank thee so much we were brought into the kingdom, and the kingdom extended a little when we were saved by grace. And we believe this night the kingdom will extend even more. And we thank thee this kingdom will never be defeated, and this kingdom will continue to grow until the day when the King comes in his glory. Oh, how blessed we are. We do pray that the arrows of the King would go forth, the arrow of the gospel, the arrow of conviction, the arrow of love, and there will be those found at his feet. May we be encouraged in the King of Kings. We are thankful, O Lord, for our Queen and her reign, but our hearts and our eyes go tonight to the King of Kings, and we are so thankful for him. And for his reign, and that he will reign forever and ever, and we will be with him forever and ever. Help us in life to prepare for a glorious feast with the King throughout all eternity. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 72. Psalm 72, we're singing verses 17 to 19. We sing this as praise, it's also our prayer. We notice verse 19, the whole earth let his glory fill. And it's a believing prayer in light of what we consider tonight in Isaiah 11. For the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So we don't need to question. Oh, for more faith to sing this in light of the promises. Psalm 72, we're thinking of King Jesus in this psalm, verses 17 to 19, his name forever shall endure, lost like the sun it shall.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.